need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, shrinks and doms, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex, with a capital X. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get an A women?
Hey, women.
I want to welcome you to the little love church of the Bonobo Way in the village of Bonoboville. I am the Irreverend Dr. Susan Block, your servant and your mistress of the airwaves. And I'm also a sex therapist. And I'm also, if you know my voice, very congested right now. It's not my cocaine habit. I don't have a cocaine habit. I have other habits. I like to smoke pot, but I actually can't even do that anymore because I am like hyper sinus sensitive to climate change, folks. It hits right here. And I'm also very excited because the doctor gave me steroids, and it doesn't cure the congestion. I don't know what it does. It just makes you very manic. So watch out. Yeah. Now, first of all, just in case you don't keep up with the political gossip, Roger Stone, let's get the picture of him up there, Trump's oldest living friend, a Republican shill and a nasty asshole, and also being a swinger and a kinkster, he's made a bad name for decent swingers and kinksters. There he is right up on our screen giving the Nixon V for victory. Of course, Nixon was not very victorious in that regard. But, you know, he's got Nixon tattooed on his back. And he's so bad that even the Nixon library kind of disavowed any association with him, although he did do some dirty work for Tricky Dick. And now he has been found guilty on all counts, facing 50 years. Now, if you've read my article, Roger Stoned, then you know I'm all for just dunking on Roger. But I kind of feel, I don't know. I mean, he supported war criminals and scumbags from Nixon to Trump. So I'm not sorry to see him taken down. Though I wish they would do the same or worse to the real war criminals, you know, like guys that have been responsible, mostly guys, some women, for the deaths of millions, like, wow, this is serious climate change. Yeah, like George W. Bush getting to walk free and hang out with Ellen DeGeneres and other war criminals like Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger, to go way back. They never suffer anything. Well, Roger Stone, you know, maybe it's because he dresses weird and likes to wear hats. Uh-oh. There but for the grace, you know, these, you know, he likes to wear costumes and hats. But, I mean, he's a schmuck. And he's worked for the worst people in the country, in the world, maybe, including with Paul Manafort, who is a fellow schmuck. And they're both cuckolds and swingers, and they give a bad name to cuckolds and swingers. And I'm happy to see him found guilty, and I hope it leads to a guilty verdict for the Trumpists. There he is with his gag on the presidents. And I am a little afraid, though, that it's going to lead to more trouble for Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. I mean, it's already doing that. Just because he quoted WikiLeaks, I don't even know if he had contact, personal contact with Julian Assange, maybe. But Julian Assange is a journalist. We should differentiate. Roger Stone is a schmuck. Well, he's a political operative. And Julian Assange is a publisher and a journalist. So, free Assange! And free Chelsea Manning! And let Edward Snowden return to America. These are whistleblowers. And we're talking a lot these days about the importance of whistleblowers. They blow the whistle on the American military-industrial complex. And bad as all the Trump bribery is, the way that some of our wonderful soldiers, they're wonderful, but they got trauma. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So they're like using their drones and killing the wrong people and laughing about it. And, you know, Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange made that public. And a lot of people don't like that, but it is what's happening, and we should be aware of it for many reasons, not least of which the military-industrial complex is the worst polluter in the world. So, yeah, I'm sick due to the military-industrial complex. Thanks a lot, generals. Anyway, I appreciate your service. So, we're having another impeachment party. Yeah.
I should eat peaches.
You want a peach, Sunshine?
Here,
I'll feed you a peach. Don't eat it so fast. Suck on it a little. Oh, okay. That's what he said. Right.
I got too excited. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You want another one?
If I eat it,
you
want to
suck on this one a little?
I'm supposed to suck on the peach.
Yeah, suck on it. Mmm, yum. Well, now you have to eat it, though.
Okay, what about sucking the other side, right?
Mm. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll eat it.
Now you can eat that. Yes, we're having another impeachment party, and peaches
baby
are out
pork
of season.
Baby
so we
forks,
have
baby
canned
forks
peaches. Uh-uh. We have delicious. Actually, they're kind of good.
Mm. Yeah, I like canned peaches.
And we're celebrating the impeachment. And I know it could go bad, you know, like rotten peaches. And, I mean, he's collecting a lot of money over this impeachment, Trump is, from his diehard supporters, of course. And yet, I think it's the right thing to do, you know. I think even if it doesn't remove the president, it still is necessary to call out the wrongs that are being committed. And but, you know, we're very sex-focused here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. And yes, there is sex in this impeachment. Not much, but the best line of the impeachment proceeding. You sucked a peach, right? Well, we make it sexy. But there's plenty more, too. You know, the best line of the impeachment proceedings has been Ambassador Gordon Sondland telling the Trumpists loudly, on a cell phone with a Ukrainian restaurant where everyone could hear, President Zelensky loves your ass. Loves your ass. I don't know if I want to imagine that, but, you know, it's trending on Twitter. Hashtag loves your ass right now. Yep. All right. Well, that's the impeachment, you know. But, yeah, I think this Trumpus needs to be spanked. And I hope they throw the book at him. But in the meantime, I'm going to spank him on his big furry balls. And he's wearing his president's hat and he is gagged under gag order because we don't allow him in Bonoboville any other way. And he's sitting in a nice Eames chair. We don't treat our prisoners too badly here. But he is a prisoner while he's here. He's not allowed to do whatever he wants, and he's not allowed to speak. That filthy mouth. He calls us filthy-mouthed wives. But he's got
it. Sounds kind of hot. I want a filthy-mouthed
wife. It's on my Twitter now. I'm a filthy-mouthed wife.
Chrissy Teigen
was the original filthy mouth wife that he called a filthy mouth wife. And now her husband, John Lennon, has been selected by
John
people.
John Legend, right?
Oh, right, John Legend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that
no,
the congestion?
No, you're right. That is congestion, but John. No, it isn't. The N's don't come out like G's, but they come out like B's, like John Lebon. But it's John Legend, okay, the singer. I'm not sure if I think he's the sexiest man alive, but... You know, I think he's a great guy. Lately, I think it's the nice guys that are the sexiest men alive, the ones who haven't been accused of, you know, sexual harassment. So he hasn't been accused. He's got a beautiful wife, and, I mean, he looks good, you know. He's gotten called out by Trump a million times because he's, you know, a thinking human being. So he has problems with Trump. So does his wife, and she is a gorgeous filthy-mouthed wife, and I'd be proud to be a fellow filthy-mouthed wife. So, anyway, tonight's topic is trauma, yeah, and kink. Trauma and kink. Now, they seem kind of opposite, right? I mean, like, but they're very much related in a way. Certainly, a lot of people who are into kink have been traumatized in some way in their past, or they're working out their trauma, and so you know there's a lot of relationship there. A lot of trauma is childhood trauma. There's sexual trauma. There is, of course, military trauma. Hey, I mean, the military is not only the biggest polluter; they're the biggest traumatizer. PTSD is the most. I don't know. I don't know if it's the most common form of trauma, but it's certainly the most famous form. Post-traumatic stress disorder, which you get from shooting people, you know, even if you're just using drones. You get it from being in a war zone, and sometimes that war zone is not in an actual war. Could be in your own home, but very often it is in an actual war. And so people get this and have to deal with it. And sometimes they deal best with it through talking therapy. Sometimes they deal best with it through kink. Usually a combination, I think. So there's also, by the way, post-Trump sex disorder. So I wasn't so off base when I said sex disorder. Because Trump, he gives people a lot of disorders. People that can't stand it. And also, people that are big supporters might be just addicted to watching him and not paying any attention to their spouse, their sex life suffering. But mainly, he makes the sex lives of just all kinds of people who are not in favor of his policies suffer, such as sex workers, you know, due to his signing of SESTA-FOSTA and due to his mistreatment of sex workers in general. Speaking of which, PayPal just threw out all the sex workers. They just cut off, talk about traumatizing. They cut off Dobbs, I don't know, all kinds of sex workers are no longer allowed to use PayPal.
Everybody I knew doing sex work, like stripping or webcam or whatever, they were, PayPal already had a terrible reputation, right?
Yes.
Like, please don't use PayPal because your client will buy services, then as soon as he gets it, he'll say, I want my refund.
I get it.
It was something else.
Yes, and, yes. Yeah. Hey, you know, we sued PayPal and won.
Oh,
because
my
PayPal
God.
Held
oh,
our
awesome.
Money. PayPal, go on, Max, yeah, Captain. Yeah.
No, nothing. They were just holding money.
And, we took them to small claims court, and we won.
Did you get your money?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they had their little representative show up. She was all ready with her lawyerly thing. She was really cute, hot. I would have had sex with her. But it was not a sexy situation. And so we had to go against each other. If we were bonobos after the battle, we would have had sex. But, you know, we're not.
Real genuine bonobos.
Yeah, real genuine bonobos. They fight and then they have sex. It's a form of conflict reconciliation. Not such a bad idea. We should have at least given each other a hug. But she was mad because she knew we won, even though the judge doesn't tell you right there. You have to wait to get it in the mail. Anyway, so there's post-traumatic stress disorder and post-Trump sex disorder. And how about trauma experienced by migrant children who are separated from their relatives and placed in government custody like they're in jail, made to sleep under tinfoil and go without toothbrushes and drink water from toilets? All of these things have been done. And almost 70,000 infants, toddlers, and you know, I'm not a big fan of kids, but at the same, I don't have any kids, I am child free, but at the same time, I respect them as human beings, and they are being treated like crap. And 70,000 kids, toddlers, infants, teens have been incarcerated this year by Trump's ICE goons. How's that for creating trauma? And how about that Tucson cop? I don't even want to show the video of him. It's so disgusting. A cop in Tucson has this quadriplegic teenage kid, and he manhandles him to the ground over I don't know what. I don't see how this quadriplegic, I mean, that means no arms, no legs. And he tosses him out of the wheelchair and wrestles him on the ground. There's nothing to wrestle. He's just grabbing this guy. I mean, as a sex therapist, I got to say, this cop must have been traumatized, maybe by being a cop or maybe in his childhood. But he has some kinky sadism that he needs to work out. And, of course, the kid is, I'm sure, traumatized by this event. Fortunately, it was caught on film, so the cop will be punished, and the kid might feel some vindication. But it's even traumatic to watch.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we can still heal our trauma, and we're going to talk about that. But meanwhile, there's another trauma I want to talk about before I get into my guests and my fun. And anyway, there's been a Trump and U.S. supported military coup in Bolivia this week. And talk about trauma. I mean, I have a picture if you want to show her. This is pretty traumatizing. An indigenous mayor of a small Bolivian town is being dragged through the streets after military protected thugs sponsored by the U.S. and corporations kidnapped her, cut her hair forcibly, and poured red paint all over her, and forced her to walk through the streets barefoot. And, you know, they didn't do anything, I guess, like chop off her ears or something, you know. But still, it's disgusting. And Noam Chomsky, one of my heroes, even though I have some qualms with him about what he says about porn.
The sex industry.
Noam, we're going to talk. But Noam is beautiful when it comes to events like this that are so so traumatizing for the world, for whole groups of people. He says the coup is promoted by the Bolivian oligarchy. You know, they got this cute chick. She looks like, you know, a blonde Kardashian or something. And she's like now in charge. You know, I mean, she's cute. Again, I would have sex with her. But I just don't think she has a right to kick out the elected leader, Evo Morales. But she did. Anyway, the coup is promoted by the Bolivian oligarchy, says Noam Chomsky, and has the full support of the United States government, which has long been eager to expel Evo Morales and his movement. This is a movement to equalize things in Bolivia and for the Bolivians to, you know, benefit from their own resources like lithium. And I'm not talking about the drug, which could be
that
fun.
That was all I knew.
I know, just, this is a drug, right?
That's for bipolar, right? The first bipolar drug?
Yeah, for trauma, you know.
Yeah, for trauma. Yeah, exactly.
No, there. It's a kind of chemical, well, it's a mineral that is found in the mountains of Bolivia. 70% of the world's lithium is there, and it's used to build electric cars. Tesla. That's right. So, you know, I tell you, everything, you know, progressive has a price. I mean, technology always has a price that you pay. So the electric cars, yeah, they are better than the gas guzzlers. But, you know, we should let the Bolivians themselves benefit from our need for lithium. We shouldn't steal it from them. Like Trump likes stealing oil. Obviously, he also likes stealing lithium now. So there is some hope. The people are rising up. I just read that today, that they're having demonstrations in the street. They are, you know, maybe going to take their country back. You know, trauma is a very terrible, debilitating thing, but sometimes it galvanizes you to fight for your rights. So we're going to talk about trauma and kink tonight on the Dr. Susan Block Show. If you'd like to give us a call, if you want to talk about trauma and kink, our number is 626-461-5212. That's 626-461-5212. Or if you're a little cheap, is that one number working? Nobody's telling me. So, okay, well, so I was hoping someone would say yes. Okay.
Yes!
So, thank you. That's my great Bonomoville crew. So you can also call 1-866-289-7068. So I have Melinda Vivian.
Vivian, yes.
Vivian.
She has two first names.
I was pronouncing it the French way.
Melinda Vivian, yeah.
Melinda Vivian is a trauma therapist. So you are here for your subject.
Hello.
You can call in and talk to a sex therapist and a trauma therapist at the same time.
And others. We're going to get to them.
And
also, Melinda was kind of part of the show that we did a few weeks ago about Hustlers, the movie. And, you know, we had some fun.
Oh, right. And you had the snake with you at that time.
I did. I had the snake.
So we had three therapists, right? Because it was an emotional support animal.
Yeah.
And then you. And right. Then, yeah.
Lilith. Lilith the snake. Was it Lilith?
Venus.
Venus. I'm sorry. I get my female goddesses mixed
up.
Yes. Venus, right. Venus is snake. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And I want to also introduce my other guest who has not been on the show yet.
What?
She's a virgin to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Whoa.
Domina Mara. Beautiful femdom.
We don't have a cherry for her.
And according to her Twitter, she is Artist Maven. Gifted goddess and lady keyholder, skilled in spanking, CBT. That would be, for those of you who don't know, cock and ball torture.
Oh, really?
Trump needs some of that. And whipping. He needs some of that. I give him that regularly. I was trampling. We could do that to him, too. And foot fetish and leg worship, smothering. Cuckold. We talked about cuckolding a couple weeks ago. That's one of our favorite subjects. And sissy, slave trading, all kinds of things. And, of course, adult babies dealing with trauma through kink. Oh, is the microphone working?
Mara needs her microphone.
Pop.
Let me see it.
Okay, so we are getting the microphone together.
Hello. Okay.
There perfect. You are. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to have you here. And so our subject tonight is trauma and kink. So let's talk about trauma first. Let's have a definition. I gave my own impressions, but I'd like to hear from the expert.
Yeah, I mean, I know sort of we think about that trauma is maybe just PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder from something like war. But there's many different ways that one can become traumatized. It can be systemic racism, so it can be, you know, micro. And it could be cumulative, which is things that just continuously happen all times. It can be socioeconomic. And certainly there are things such as big T's, like big, big car accidents, a sudden breakup, things like that.
Yeah. And moving. Then, and I've been traumatized by moving.
We call them
trauma. Big trauma.
Yeah. Oh, Francine Shapiro, who developed trauma therapy of EMDR, developed this idea of big T and little T.
Okay.
But so then there is the other one. Trauma that...
There's sexual trauma.
Yes, complex trauma was the one I was going to say. So oftentimes, the work that I do ends up being complex trauma. I got in a car accident. Can you help me be able to drive again? Is difficult, but that is somewhat manageable. Uh-huh. But oftentimes, because we are complex people, our trauma tends to be pretty complex and starts really, really early on. And oftentimes, people aren't aware how early on the trauma starts. We sort of, you know, end up, you know, we might start at age, whatever age they are, and then we realize we're like at 5 or maybe even 3, you know.
Yeah.
Because these really, you know, we develop our sense of self in relation to the world at a very, very early age.
Sometimes people are traumatized by being born.
Sure.
You know, birth can be, you know, kind of weird and traumatic.
Well, there's a reason why we don't remember it. You know, that would be too much for our nervous system to actually have access to that memory. And then that's also part of how I work with trauma is through a biological model, which is understanding how the nervous system is affected during stress and trauma.
How is the nervous system affected?
Well, it's a biological response. When we feel like we are in threat, we will be triggered into like that fight, flight, or freeze mode.
Yeah.
And when that happens, a signal is sent to our adrenal glands to release different chemicals into the body, saying, uh-oh, prepare for fight, or prepare for freeze, or prepare for flight. So when those chemicals are released, while we do need that at times, if it's released for too long or for too fast, it can start affecting our entire biological system.
And things that are happening now can trigger these bad memories and traumatize you all over again, even though you're not going through anything bad right now, but there's a triggering element.
Yeah, exactly. There was this this study called the ACEs, which is they correlated childhood trauma to adult onset illnesses such as diabetes, obesity, pulmonary disease, heart disease, stress, anxiety. But there is a really strong correlation that if experienced childhood trauma, that there it can lead into actual physical illness.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's a way that we can start healing that. And
yes.
That is through the body, through the nervous system, which is being able to reset the nervous system so that the nervous system can start feeling safe again. And we can either retell our story of what happened.
And telling the story is just so important, to be able to tell the story to someone who, I guess, has a mixture of understanding, caring, but not too much caring. Because if you tell the story to someone who has an invested care in you, it's scary. They might not like you. They might feel threatened by your story. So that's why going to a therapist is a good idea, because you don't always want to tell your loved ones every little yucky thing you feel. I mean, it's great to be able to do that with your loved ones, but sometimes it's better to go to a professional and learn how to maybe tell your loved one about it, because there are ways to tell. Because sometimes loved ones get triggered when you say, oh, I was raped when somebody did that to me. Oh, you think I'm a rapist. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Vicarious trauma. Yeah.
So it's good to talk to a professional about this. And, you know, a trauma therapist would be the logical professional. But there's different kinds of therapists, of course. And you specialize in sex trauma? Or?
Not necessarily sex. That's what ends up being. I specialize in trauma therapy.
What do you mean that's what ends up being?
Well, I'm a trauma therapist. I studied how to heal through like EMDR and trauma therapy.
And EMDR stands
EMDR for? Is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. So through the process of eye movement back and forth, the idea is that it links the left and the right hemispheres of the brain together, so we can take the rational part of yourself, of you, where you are today, which is I feel safe, I know I'm okay, with the emotional memory capsule from whenever the trauma happened. And so the idea is to be able to create less emotional response to the trauma, so there's a little distance. And so that you can still remember it and still tell the story of it, but you're not going to have the emotional response, and therefore your nervous system is going to not get distressed, dysregulated, and you can stay in your well-being and be able to still have relationships and move on with your
life. It works.
It does.
Fascinating. That's
I feel really hopeful by doing
it. Good. Yeah. Well, so when you
what happened to the sex part?
Well, yeah, I'm going back to that.
Max cares about the sex part.
So.
But this is sex trauma. This is not the fun part.
No, you're right. But Max has his invested interest.
Thank you, Max, for bringing back in the sex. Yes. I mean, just sort of has happened that most of my clients that I have worked with that have trauma tends to be sex trauma.
And like they were molested as kids?
It's majority molested as kids or teenage stuff.
Sexual harassment, like Me Too type stuff?
Yeah,
stories?
I have had a work sexual harassment case. This person was extremely traumatized, and she was suing her company, and then that was an entire other trauma.
Oh my God, that's crazy! But that
the courtroom trauma—I've been through that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, too, like so often, you know, when it becomes about sexual trauma from childhood, what makes it even worse is that it happens. Oftentimes, it's from some of our most important caregivers that are in our life. So that breaks the attachment focus as well. So not only are you traumatized by something unpleasant happening, it also by someone who's supposed to be the one that you trust. And then how do you go into the world knowing how to trust and build relationships?
And of course, if it's sexual trauma, it's hard to have sex.
Or there's a distance from it or disengagement from it.
I think a lot of people talk about like having out-of-body experiences, right? I think like people that talk about
it might be too distressful to be able to feel the body to experience pleasure, pain.
In order to survive the trauma, they cut themselves off, but then they get in the habit of cutting themselves off from their feelings and can't enjoy sex unless they get some therapy.
Because ultimately, I think, you know, I mean, this my theory, and also Brené Brown, if anybody's ever heard any of her stuff.
Yeah.
But the idea that we want, what makes us feel good is connection.
Yes.
You know, we are social beings. We are not supposed to be isolated. So when we don't feel well,
except when we're having a jack-off fest.
We can all do it together.
Could.
Yeah, making a community thing.
Have a circle jerk. Yeah.
But when we don't feel good, we tend to isolate. So the idea is well-being, connectivity, and community, and that's when ultimately, you know, we feel better.
Although sometimes they say, you know, to heal trauma, you need to take care of yourself and to give yourself a bubble bath and do your favorite things and masturbate, you know, and give yourself that pleasure. Because sometimes, you know, and to come back to sex, like people that are traumatized have difficulty orgasming with a partner, And it helps to get in touch with your own feelings by being by yourself and just paying attention to yourself. Yeah. And then you can share that self-love with someone else.
Yeah, wonderful. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, not just as a trauma therapist, not even specialized in sex therapy, it's interesting that I've worked with many women who have not masturbated, and that is something.
Oh, send them to me.
send them to me.
I'll help with
this
that.
This is the time.
So I find myself
sort
of educating. Yeah. But that tends to be very healing.
Now, to get a little personal, you said that you suffered from trauma.
Yes. Yeah.
You want to share just a little of that?
I mean, it was some adolescence and teenage years and bad choices and putting myself in very unsafe situations and really got hurt, you know, by a few people at the same time. So
at the same time when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very traumatic time.
Yeah.
The hormones are raging.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And so I was sort of labeled as the good girl too. So being sexual was something that wasn't really, like, I wasn't supposed to be as well. So that was something, because of the trauma.
So it was a sexual trauma.
Yeah, it was. Mm. So one was not having trust to connect, and then it was my own sexuality. You know, how can I feel safe in my own sexuality? So there was a lot of disconnect from that for a long time.
And how did you heal?
Through my own therapy, through exploring and, you know, really like also my own work with myself and with, you know, in healthy relationships as well. So
some of the best therapists have been traumatized. That's how they can relate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we'll come back to you.
I have
Melinda.
So many questions and comments. And
I know,
and
but I want to talk to you.
Demina Moore.
You know, I mean, we've got the shrink and the kink, you know.
The shrink and the kink.
So Demina Moore deals with all kinds of clients, and some of them have been traumatized.
Yes. Once again, thank you. Yes, one of my very first clients actually was into tickling, and he got out of a very long relationship. It was also his first love. And
I'm gonna sit over here and be closer to y'all.
Sure. And when he came out to her that he had a fetish for tickling, she was like, "You're really weird, and you're a freak." And that kind of like already turned him off from the relationship. He loved her very much, but he ended up pushing her towards his best friend, and then they got together. And
trauma on top of trauma.
Betrayal.
Yeah, so actually the very first time that he saw me, we sat and spoke for a good 30 minutes to an hour. We didn't do anything. We just sat in the room and talked about it. And he, for the first maybe five times that he saw me, he was very uncomfortable that he had a fetish. He didn't even want to call it a fetish.
What did he call it?
He was just like, "This is my weird thing," you know? He was just trying to detach himself from it.
Yeah.
And you know, I was trying to give him the safe space and the non-judgment to allow him to be like, "You know what? I love tickling. You know, I think it's fun." Everybody leaves the room exhausted and smiling because that's what it does. You know, it releases a bunch of endorphins.
By the way, bonobos love to tickle. It's true. They are always tickling. And sometimes it's very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's very loving. And sometimes it goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. But tickling is a big, big part of bonobo love. Tickling.
Yeah.
So does he like to be tickled, or did he want to tickle?
So both. He was a switch. And I allowed him to kind of explore that because for me, I can handle the actual tickling. I feel like a lot of people who are ticklish, it's torturous to them and they can't stand it. And so if he feels turned on by it and they can't stand it, that's already not going to match in the relationship.
Now, let me just say that a lot of things in kink are traumatizing if they're done the wrong way. I mean, it's like the same activities very often. But the key difference is consent.
Correct. Yeah,
yeah. That's a simple key difference. There are many differences, but the key difference is consent. So I find consent is very important all the time for sex and a lot of other things. And a lot of people in this day and age don't get it. They don't understand how to establish consent without losing the moment, you know, the feeling, the lust. You know. But I think DOMs and people in kink are really good at getting consent and getting enthusiastic consent and can teach us a lot about how to do that.
Especially about the communication, I feel like not just consent, but communicating all the time. It never broke the dynamic that we had when I asked or told him, you know, okay, is this too much? Because I can feel, you know, when it is getting too much, you know, a person's like laughing too much and they can't breathe, or, you know, you start seeing, you know, nail marks on them and you're just like, okay, I just want to check in and make sure you're okay. And they have a high, and of course they're going to say okay, but you know, you pay attention. As a Dom, I paid attention to how much they were sweating, gave them breaks to breathe, and he was, I think over time, because I cared about his well-being and that he enjoyed himself, that he was just like, this isn't so bad, you know? I actually kind of like that. So after two years.
I feel bad that someone would shame him because he likes tickling. It's like, it's just tickling.
I know, it's
so
a very light
many
thing.
People no, shame feel people shame. Yeah. Over yes. various fetishes, over sex, over kink, over anything. I mean, we are constantly doing that to each other, and we should watch it because it's not nice. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, you don't even know you're shaming the person. You're just reacting.
Yep.
And sometimes you do know you're a sadist, but I think most of the time people don't even realize how bad they're being, how they're hurting someone. Yeah. So it's hard. So that's why we have professionals to help us out.
Can I sort of comment on that too, with your story? It sounds like too, because he was able to experience this where eventually became safe, his nervous system, we bring it back to the biological
model,
is that he's now able to experience this with a regulated nervous system, and you know, and also so that the shame also is decreased at that point too. Mm. So it sounds like you really are doing the trauma work for sure.
And I feel like DOMs kind of get this, you know, impression that they're, you know, the bitch and that they're always in control and this like mean dominant. Yes, we can be cruel, but at the same time, like for me personally, I have a naturally nurturing side, you know.
You're a dommy mommy.
Kind of.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, even though you don't look
old babies.
But yeah, for the adult baby.
Yes.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people, men and women and everybody else, are traumatized by their mothers. And I'm not blaming the mothers. It's traumatic, I think, to be a mother.
I blame the moms.
Well, okay. Some of them could be those mean sadist bitches. But some of them are just struggling to raise like five kids and you're one and you get neglected, or, you know, she's going through illness. Various things can create trauma in a child from their mother. And father too, of course. But mother, I guess, is maybe closer, more common. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of clients, I think, go to DOMs for that mothering, that dommy mommy love, and also the bitchiness, though. Sometimes they want a mean dommy mommy to kind of reflect on theirs, or maybe because theirs was absent, they want someone who's so there for them that she's spanking them. You know, so it's definitely a strong element of domination.
Yeah, and I've also had, you know, an adult baby whose mom was actually traumatized by her husband, right? You know, because he was abusive towards her, she was acting out on him, and then, you know, that it just is an endless cycle, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
With me, I was still, I'm realistic, so if he was misbehaving, I was firm, you know, put him in the corner, the naughty corner. But then I would also reward him, you know, if he, you know, was a good boy, he gets to play with his toys, you know, I get to pat him on the head, and that nurturing sense gives him that intimacy that he was lacking with his original parents, you know, and so that kind of made him go out into the world again, you know, into the default world, you know, as a better human being, per se, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
And is he still doing the adult baby play, or?
I think it's evolved. So what I love about domination, too, is that it kind of evolves as the person starts to heal, uh-huh. right? They don't just stay in one state. They can, because yeah. it can be fun.
Depends.
But
so to speak. Adult no, babies. Depends.
Yeah. So that baby's like a teenager now? Or?
So, yes. Yeah,
so, no, I mean, I'm trying to figure it out.
So it's so funny. We have here, for your assistance, your healing, we have a trauma therapist, a dominatrix, a sex therapist, and a comedian. So,
yeah, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at your expense.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so actually in kind of the adult baby world, there are three categories. There's the littles, the middles, and then the bigs. And so if somebody starts from like 3 years old, if the evolution continues. So the reason why people, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. The reason why people kind of go through this is because they haven't been able to enjoy or kind of experience their childhood, right, in a normal setting. And so they're choosing a dominant to fulfill that role, but also giving them the responsibility to become that parental figure. And so over time, as they grow up, they also grow up in age, so they become 5. Then they become 7. So maybe if they didn't used to talk, if they used to just communicate through rattles or through crying, they'll now be able to start saying words.
Wow.
Or they'll go from crawling.
Can we do that with Trump? I mean, he just, you know, I mean, he says words, but they're all baby talk, you know, and he's mostly just throwing tantrums. I don't know. Maybe somebody can help him to become a teenager, anyway.
So I have a question. So then your client, what's the longest client that you had that kind of had a childhood?
Yeah, so like, on and off, I mean, this client didn't see me like every month per se, but over the span of, I think, 2 to 3 years now, we've kind of evolved over maybe like 5 years of age. And so now, so let's say 3, and now they're 8. And so they're kind of in the middle group, and they're able to, you know, let's say watch a movie with me and then have small conversations about it, what they liked about it, what they don't like about it. You know, they're able to, you know, tell me about their day at school, or, you know, they move from playing with building blocks to actual, like, oh, now I'm starting to construct the building blocks in my head mentally, you know, and talk about that. And so it's like, it's kind of rewarding because I don't want children.
But child free like me.
Yes.
You're vicarious.
Exactly.
Yeah, like
me
too.
Yeah.
But we all have mothering instincts, feelings, and we need to mother people.
And my submissives are my children.
Yeah, they're your children.
So I'm kind of like bringing them up as I'm progressing in my domination, which is actually really fantastic.
And very ecosexual.
Yes, you know, so amazing.
Lot fewer Pampers out there. Nothing against the mothers out there, and I have great respect for you, but I also have respect for child-free people who aren't inflicting more Pampers on our poor beleaguered Mother Earth. So what do you think about the intersection of kink and therapy trauma?
Just listening to what you were saying, it's so interesting because there is this idea of this one has low batteries. This idea of what we
low
need
batteries.
To, we need to go through a chronological developmental stages from birth to, you know, the stages of growth. And if something happens along the way in that developmental stage, then there's a gap. And then let's say, okay, something gets a little bit better for a couple of years, and then something else happens, then there's a gap. So what happens is we go back and we realize that there's little holes in the development of the sense of self. Mm. So what it sounds like is that you're going back and you are helping fill in those holes of one of the most important parts, which is parenting and attachment.
Yes.
And so that the person can begin to develop that sense of themselves in relation to others.
The sex part makes it fun.
I mean,
there's all kinds of ways to go back and to deal with your trauma. But I find that there's many different ways, but the sex way is kind of a fun way.
Just to be clear, though, for my adult babies, the dynamic that we have is not sexual at all. Mm. That one's actually just pure, like, caring for the other person. And I mean, some people might have a thing for, you know, doing their, what do you call it, their nature's call into diapers, but I have a hard limit on that. I don't change diapers.
You don't change diapers.
No.
When I say sex, understand, I am speaking of sex in a very broad way. I'm not meaning PIV, penis and vagina, necessarily. I mean, that is a form of sex, but any form of caring that involves touch and opening up secrets and expressing, I mean, it definitely, even if they're not having any type of what we might call sex, they're having a sexual erotic thrill, a feeling from being able to be themselves, to be a baby with you. Correct. And of course they pick a beauty. I mean, if they weren't into the sex part, then they wouldn't need such a beautiful dommy mommy, right?
Appreciate
they
it.
Need someone beautiful because it's an erotic thing. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people who go to regular therapy are in love with their therapist. So it doesn't hurt you're also beautiful. although, you know you got to keep your boundaries. Right. Right. But I hear as a sex therapist about all the people who say, ah, my therapist is so hot, but I can't touch myself in front of her. What do I do? I dream about her. So I have to help her with that.
You can talk to her.
Well, yeah.
Or you could do a role play with a dom.
I love it. Pretend you're my sex therapist. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Well, Dr. Susan, oral sex, right? Oral.
Oral.
Sorry. What is it when
you're verbal. Actually pronounced verbal. The same way?
The sound, just the sound.
A-U-R-A-L.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. And it sounds just like oral. Okay.
Yes. Oral is oral, you know. So, are you traumatized by this show? Maybe. But we try to heal your trauma. We have experts. We have a trauma therapist. And we have a femdom. And I'm a sex therapist, of course, and our comedian peep show star.
I guess so.
Sunshine. So if you want to give us a call, the number is 626-461-5212 or 1-866-289-7068. And we're also, of course, on Facebook. So you can...
Live.
You know.
Okay, I had some questions. You said big T's and you gave an example, right, of, I don't know, a car crash? So then what would be like little T's?
So little T can be like a lot of stress for a long period of time.
Oh.
It could be maybe like a dog bite. It could be sort of like...
So a dog bite and now you're scared of dogs and so it's kind of traumatic, but it's not...
Yeah, you're still probably able to function in life.
Or fear of flying. A lot of people have that.
Fear of flying is a really great one. This actually, like, trauma therapy works really well for fear of flying. I mean, Francine Shapiro, she labeled those things, but we're also kind of going back, like, do we really need to label? Because it's not about one is more than the other. It was just sort of a way of defining all the different ways in which trauma can happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important parts, too, about how trauma can develop is sometimes it's not the event itself, it's what happens right afterwards. So let's say,
Dr. Susan told me that, too.
Yeah, so it's because oftentimes it's the shame or the guilt that can happen right afterwards, whether or not it's going to set in as trauma. Mm-hmm. So let's say somebody has... actually, a story of a woman who her mother passed away, and she was holding her mother at that time, and you know, the family knew that she was going to pass soon, but she was holding her mother. She didn't call for the other family members to come in right away, so when eventually they did, they screamed at her, yelled at her, "How dare you didn't call us in?" And so this traumatized this young woman for years because she felt so much guilt and shame that she somehow was responsible for her mother's death, even though they knew this woman was going to be dying soon.
It's just
the shame that happened right afterwards kind of set it in as... That's
a lot of trauma is connected with shame. And, you know, certainly sexual trauma. And all, but the kind you just talked about, it's a lot of feeling like it's your fault that something happened that really wasn't your fault. And how do you get through that? Well, These are the ways. It's hard, but it's possible, and people do move forward, and people do get better. And I personally, I mean, trauma is a terrible thing. Don't wish it on anybody. Don't commit it to any. I almost think it's worse when you are the traumatizer in terms of your psyche than when you are the traumatized. Because if you're traumatized, that's bad, and you feel bad, but you can heal. And that which doesn't kill you can make you stronger. But if you're the traumatizer,
You never admit it, right?
Go to jail.
You're never going to admit it.
Do not pass go.
Well, most likely that's unresolved trauma themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I
you
think
might
it's
admit it. You might
Unless
admit
you're
it.
A
if you're in therapy, maybe you're in couples therapy and you're forced to admit it. Deal with it. I do think even traumatizers can be healed. I think it's harder, but I think the traumatizers can be healed. Because you got to break the cycle of violence somewhere. And the revolution starts with you. You know, if you believe that you've been wronged or that you're doing wrong, where do you start? You start with yourself. And if you can't do it yourself, go to a therapist or go to a dom. Somebody that can help you. Somebody that can help you. Because, you know, this is your life, you know. And you gotta do good in the world. You got to be bonobo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, influence is a huge thing. Like, people don't understand how their presence alone can influence other people. And we are conditioned by society, you know, to fit in this mold. And a lot of people kind of are narrow-minded by that. And so it's situational, right? If you're put into a situation where it's like, I don't know what to do, but I've been taught this, they're going to just keep doing that. But that might not be the right thing to do for that moment, you know? And of course, laws and rules can be broken by those things, and I'm speaking very generically right now, but it can apply to anything in life, in kink, without kink, and through trauma. And it's a tricky situation, because you can do something very damaging and then you can't take it back, but then you can also be a good person and be there for that person later and be like, you know what, I really apologize, like anything that I can do to help you through processing this, you know, I can do that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people don't have that self-awareness, unfortunately. And I feel like that's something that has to do with either education or just like the way that society has treated us.
Yeah. Have you ever been traumatized?
I have.
Tell us.
I had really strict parents growing up. I moved around several times because of my father's job. I experienced racism when I was coming of age.
You're from San Francisco.
I am, but I also moved to South America for 4 years.
Oh.
And so that's actually where the, surprisingly, racism hit.
Really?
Yeah.
What country, if you don't mind?
It was Argentina.
Oh.
Because I went to an all-girls British school. And it was a lot of expatriates and kind of the elitist
Argentines. Not the indigenous people.
No, it was the people who were, you know, the descendants
the Europeans,
of Europeans.
Yeah.
Yes. So
well,
that
I'm
was
not surprised they'd be racist.
But I actually handled it very well, because I didn't really understand what was going on, and I just tried to be my best. And even though some, you know, British girl tried to make me wipe the mud off her shoes to be her friend for the day, yeah, stuff like that. But now I'm using those items as ways to kind
Honor.
Of like. Well, no, now I'm using it in my dom sessions.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's fodder for your
Wipe
dom
your
sessions. This
off
is
my
ideas.
Shoes. Right. That's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
But you were a little bit traumatized.
Of course.
Not a lot. It's
bullying, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't just one person. It was a clique of people that I wanted to hang out with, because they spoke English. Everybody else was speaking Spanish all the time. The Spanish teachers were just like, you don't speak Spanish, we're going to just ignore you. You know, so I wasn't even included in the classroom. And so it was just like all these little things that were adding up that I was very isolated. And actually, that's how I got into art, because I was by myself. And that art has actually transformed into femdom art today.
Uh-huh, yes, you do seem like quite the femdom artist.
Yeah, so that everything that I've done, I've actually transformed myself into a more positive thing. So I take all this negative, and that's what I do in my sessions too, is like I take all this negativity, I'm like, how can I make this better? You know, what is the light at the end of the tunnel for this?
And maybe if you had been traumatized, you would
definitely not
have that ability. I guess that's what I'm getting at, is that sometimes trauma gives you abilities.
Definitely.
Almost like Greta Thunberg, she says that her autism is a superpower. Mm-hmm. Because it, you know, that which gives you less gives you more.
Right. Any limitations actually make you smarter and work around those things, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's awesome.
Not always, though.
Well.
But, yeah. No, I feel that if you kind of take the bull by the horn, so to speak, you can make it work for you and be a more full person as opposed to a spoiled brat who's never traumatized. So,
but what you're talking about, I mean, we think, oh, well, childhood, you know, bullying just sort of exists. I mean, now we're taking it a little bit more seriously because
yeah.
we realize how serious it is.
Yeah.
But bullying, the racism, I think is a much larger and more important fact in trauma.
Yes.
That, you know, I'm glad that we're finally talking about it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I, of course, always pitch the Bonobo Way. It's my book. It's my philosophy. And, you know, I think that there's a little bit of bullying among bonobos, but not a lot. Because they, first of all, the females are in charge. And so there's a little bit of that.
Hey, women.
Female. Yes, yeah. exactly. Hey, women, brothers and sisters, you know. And we should all let the female within us all, male, female, and everything else, just come out and be honored more. Because... you know, the male energy is beautiful, and I love men, but can be more of a bullying energy, although women can be bullies, too.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of female
bullies. So I guess I just am excited, too, that we're talking more about bullying. I was bullied as a kid, and for various multiple reasons. You know, and we didn't talk about it then. It was just considered, yeah, something bad, something wrong, but
kids
nobody
kids.
Knew what to do about it.
Boys are boys.
It was kids.
Kids are kids.
You know, but it can be really hurtful. I had a kid throw a big piece of ice on my face, a boy who I didn't want to go steady with. And he threw a big piece of ice on my face while I was lying in the snow, and I still have the cut. But it was...
I bet you I can see why he's still single to this day.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure
is.
He's...
But see, that's you. Physical violence now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the difference between just like verbal bullying and then yeah. taking it a step further and becoming right. violent with that.
This guy was pre-verbal. He was, you know, 12 years old, but he couldn't talk. That's why, he
gotcha.
You know, a lot of times people bully when they don't know how to speak.
That's true.
I'm talking about you, presidents. If you don't know how to speak, if you don't know how to communicate, then you bully very often. Mm. Anyway,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's traumatizing. So we are working through it. And the Me Too movement is definitely helping a lot of women with trauma and men, mostly women, but some men, and certainly a lot of trans people. But I always have to say, do it the bonobo way. Mm. Be conscious that... you know, the bullies need help too, and the men need help. And among the bonobos, the females are in charge, but the males like it. So, ladies, we need to take care of our boys so there aren't too many incels who, if they go off their traumatized rocker, will just pick up an AR-15 and kill a bunch of people. So.
And a lot of my clients, too, who are male, and they... they come from old worldviews, which means like they don't have a lot of acceptance for
the
talking about
inside,
yeah, and talking
them.
About their feelings and being intimate. Like, what uh-huh. does that mean? And so with me, and some of these guys are like way into their 40s and 50s, but that's what I'm saying is like it's the old world, right? Mentality where it's just like, oh, well, we just don't talk about that, or oh, just you know, keep your head down and just. Go. And men especially are conditioned to just like work, you know, go up the ladder, you know, be very, you know, all about the corporate and get that
win,
job.
Win, win.
Yeah,
that's a lot like, of what bullying is about is there's a winner and there's a loser. Well, how about if everybody's just kind of winning and
yeah, winning your own game.
You know, I mean, we don't, that's the thing. The bonobos are very communal and collaborative. Whereas common chimps and a lot of humans are very competitive, which leads to bullying. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to win, you got to bully that motherfucker.
Yeah.
But if it's not all about winning, or if you can see that you lose when you win that way, then maybe you'll have some communal love and some sex, you know. So.
Strip clubs are bully centers, just a side
note. Yeah, yeah, that's a case in which women can bully each other, yeah. You know, because it's competitive.
Yeah,
because
they're competing.
I mean, there's two elements in a strip club, I find, and you know more than I do. And, of course, we talked about this at the Hustlers show we did. But there's two elements. One is this sisterhood, which is very bonobo, and women looking out for each other, women getting close to each other, touching each other, and feeling each other, and you know, getting a lot of strength and power from each other. And then the other element is the competition for that money. Got to get that money from these men out there, and it creates a negative dynamic. So, you know, a lot of our institutions have both the positive and the negative dynamics.
I have one idea. Okay, so I thought the Lola Ya Bonobo place,
yeah.
They probably need a trauma therapist, right?
For the bonobos, yeah.
Well, yeah, because
well, they all are trauma.
Cause, yeah,
okay, Lola Ya Bonobo is a sanctuary run by my friend and hero, Claudine André, and it's in Kinshasa, outside of Kinshasa in the Congo. And a lot of bonobos are killed in the wild by hunters, by poachers. And that's illegal, but they do it anyway. And when the bonobo is killed, often her baby will be left there because he doesn't have much meat. So they'll kidnap the baby, and then they try to sell the baby to a nefarious zoo. But sometimes Lola Ya Bonobo and the Bonobo Conservation Initiative, they get a hold of this baby, and they bring it to the sanctuary of Lola, and they heal these babies who have been traumatized by seeing their mothers killed. Directly, and they are traumatized, and they are very close to humans, so they get all fucked up. They're pulling their hair out, they're biting their fingers, and through all this love, they've got they call them the mamas.
Yeah, they give them a human mom.
I sound like I'm saying Obama, but I mean like mama.
Mom.
Yeah, then they're human, and they take care of the bonobos. Until they grow up, and then they, you know, ideally release them into the wild.
So yeah, they're healing the attachment part.
Yes.
And two, as primates, we have an emotional center that's quite different than other animals.
Yes.
The limbic system of the brain is where we experience all those emotions. So whales, dolphins, primates can experience this real sense of grief.
Yes.
And loss.
Ah.
So, you know, the killer whales at SeaWorld. When the whale would have a baby, they would immediately remove the baby from the mom, and the mom would wail and grieve for weeks to months.
Why did they remove the baby?
Because it's part of their program. And
right.
They want to raise the baby somewhere. They don't do it anymore. It's illegal.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
What's the baby even going to eat?
They used to do that with bonobos, but they don't do that anymore.
You said the limbic system, right?
The zoos are getting a little better. I have mixed feelings about zoos. You know,
me too.
Because they're prisons, but on the other hand, if it wasn't for the San Diego Zoo, I wouldn't meet my favorite bonobos. So. Mm.
I think the zoos here are way better than the zoos in Japan. That's just my experience. Because, like, I don't know, in Japan they try to make everything be little and cute. And, like, even ridiculous stuff that can't be little and cute. They're like, no, let's make it little and cute, you know? And so, like, when I went to the zoo in Japan, I felt like all the places for the animals were way smaller than any zoo I went to in America.
Wow.
But, I mean, I still think the American zoos are an issue, too. But zoos are an issue in general.
Well, that's physical conditioning right there, and they can get trauma from that too.
Yeah.
So speaking of physical,
let's get.
I was looking for a segue here. Let's get physical.
We just play the Olivia Newton-John song, and that's
10 minutes. Okay, so let's. Would you like to do a little demonstration on the lovely
on the victim
we have here? A consensual victim. I'm not sure about enthusiastic, but
sunshine,
yeah, you're pretty enthusiastic. Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff here. What is my camera doing here?
Should I go pee first? What if I pee when I get nervous?
Well, don't pee on my tiger skin.
Okay, I'm gonna pee.
Skin rug. Okay, so Well, then you come here, and we'll just talk about what we have. So, of course, we have peaches. Anybody want a peach? Are you hungry?
I'm all right for now, but thank you.
No, not for now. I'm going to have one. Okay. So it's an impeachment party. We're celebrating. Cheers.
Yay.
Delicious. Anyway, we have rope, the yellow rope. Do you like that?
I do.
Yeah. We also have a snake. Last time you brought a snake. yeah, right. The Venus. But now we have a fake snake. And, of course, the bonobo way because, you know, you ever do book spankings?
Ooh, I've
done spank with a book. They're
I've done it with
paddles.
A Bible. Yes.
Well, this is kind of the my Bible.
Mm. Juicy.
Yeah, I keep saying that because I now have a mouthful. Okay. So we're going to move this. And I have a riding crop.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
And a little lay here if you want to get laid. And so... Where's my victim?
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Okay, so sunshine. We have this rope. And, oh, here she is. Here she is. So the question is, should we do it? We've only got 10 minutes. Should we do it for Facebook or should we do a little nudité? Nudité? Yeah? Okay. Can we do topless?
Okay.
No Facebook?
No pitching
her nipples. We're just doing topless for eye candy. Okay.
Do you like me gently touching them, though?
Oh, okay. Touching,
okay. Okay, where's the mic? Where's your mic? Here it is. I'll hold it.
Okay. Touching my nipples is okay. Licking is okay. No. Biting, no. Pinching, my nipples get hurt. Even.
That's okay. We'll go sensual today.
Good to communicate.
Okay. Yes, definitely. This is called the negotiation before anything happens.
Okay, so...
have you been tied before?
Here we go.
One time I got tied with the Italian girl, right?
Well, yes.
She wasn't a dom, though. What was she?
Actually, two times. Somebody else tied you up. Tried to remember.
So good, I don't even remember it.
It was Kinky. Kinky gal.
Oh, know. Bondisage.
Bondisage.
Sarah right. Vibes.
Sarah Vibes, she right. Sarah Vibes. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, now, who's the Italian girl? She was great.
A
friend
Shari
of Serena Andolini. Serena Gaia. Dr. Serena Gaia. But, anyway. Okay. Indira. Indira, right? Indira? Anyway.
Ishara?
Ishara?
Ishara Gabrini?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out. Okay. So we are going to have an unveiling. A one and a two. And woo! Let's applaud because Sunshine has beautiful boobs. Okay, and you can make that into a skirt. Look at that.
It's totally a skirt.
Oh, it's totally a skirt.
I wear it as a top.
Should she sit down or you want her to stand or what do you want to do?
Yeah, if you could just sit. You can even put your legs to the side if you'd like, if that's more comfortable for you.
By the way, y'all on Facebook, you should definitely go to the drsusanblock.com/live where you can see it all uncensored. drsusanblock.com/live.
This is a long piece of rope.
Yeah, well, baby, we don't, you know, we don't mess around. We're into big rope. Okay, so here we have Domina Mara, and she's first stroking the hair, if you're not watching and you're just listening. She's
like
stroking Sunshine's hair very sensually, like a dommy bobby.
I always like to calm my submissives down or my bottoms down, especially if they're, you know, I've never played with them before, and that kind of initiates touch.
Yeah.
And that they can trust me.
Do you feel calm?
As calm as I get.
She's a comedian. Okay. And now her arms
are behind her back.
Yes. Whoa. Bondage. Yes. And she's tying her
one wrist
with the soft yellow rope. It's very soft rope. And tying up the other arm.
Oh, it's getting caught on your bracelet.
And oh, she's holding the riding crop between her teeth. Nice. She can't talk now. It's just like a gag in her mouth.
Yeah, don't drop that, otherwise you're going to get punished.
Oh. Wow. So Sunshine is biting down on the riding crop. This is part of her trauma therapy. What was that?
Just like the dentist.
Just like the dentist, exactly. Well, better than the dentist, I would hope, but... Oh, that's right. For most dentists. Although I guess there could be a Dom scenario with a dentist if someone...
I don't think I ever showed my teeth to a dentist.
You don't think so, but you don't know when they put you under to take out those wisdom tooth. They could be, playing around. And now we have the boob bondage. And wrapping it around the back and the arms and the boobs. And is this a style? Is this like shibari or?
Yeah, so I practice
kimbaku.
Japanese. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference that I've learned is that kimbaku is actually more functional.
Yeah.
And shibari is more ornamental. But both of them kind of serve a purpose of bondage, old prisoner ties.
Yes. Kimbaku, I've heard, is more associated, I guess, with action and sex and activity. And
definitely. The Japanese are the...
Shibaro is more like a human macrame. All right, and this is getting... How are you feeling there?
I'm okay.
You're okay? How's your mouth?
Are you breathing?
I think I'm getting a lot of saliva.
Saliva? I think that's the idea. You're supposed to drool.
Oh, really?
What are the ideas?
That's a fetish. That is a fetish.
Drooling, okay.
There you go.
And she takes it out. Oh, that's so sweet. You're a good doggy mommy.
Okay. That was easy. It was over before I knew it.
That part.
Oh, well, there's more?
Oh, sure.
Okay, what else is going to happen?
Well, I guess you can't get spanked in this position.
No, but I can tease it with the riding crop very gently.
Oh, yes. Don't hurt those boobs.
Oh, no.
But a little gentle teasing is okay.
Yes.
What was that?
It's mostly the nipples that can get very easily hurt.
Uh-huh, but they're not hurt right now.
No, they're not hurt right now.
And they're on full display. Ooh. And everyone's enjoying them. We're getting breast therapy now. And it has been proven, this is a form of therapy, that just looking at boobs can give you a lift.
Just looking at boobs makes everybody feel better.
Yeah, well, a lot of people. I think it's true.
Well, and the touch, too. Like, if I gently place my hand over her nipple, and it just feels like, it's nice.
For you. No.
Well, definitely for me.
For you. No, it feels nice for me, too. She's not rough with my nipples.
No. She's very gentle and beautiful.
And touch is one of those things where it's like everybody can do it, but not everybody understands it, And I feel like I've kind of harnessed that over the years of being a dom. It's like it doesn't always have to be rough. It can be very nice.
The way you do it is very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're next. Okay, you're next.
I would, but there's no time. I think we're almost out of time. In fact, we've got to wind it up. So let's have some applause for the lovely macrame work. of Domina Marina on, Domina Mara on Sunshine. Can you stand up like this? Can you help her up so she can turn around and show off your back view here? Yeah. Ta-da.
Stay here.
Yeah, just turn around, turn around. You can't look at this. You stop.
Don't turn around. Uh-oh.
All right. So let's have some applause for Sunshine and Domina Mara.
Yay, you did it.
And now maybe you can untie her so we can wind it up and get back to Facebook.
You can sit.
Untying is actually one of my favorites as well because I like to drag the rope on the skin.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The rope is very nice and soft. This, I don't know, we had this rope. I think one of the doms that visited us left it here. But it goes to good use. You can always pick it up, whoever you are. How do you like our demonstration?
I love it.
Kind
really
of erotic.
Interesting. It is very erotic.
And
I love how the gentleness and the sensuality and
wait, where's the microphone?
Well, I'm just wanted to ask Sunshine, like, are you breathing?
You're hesitating.
I guess so. I'm
of
alive.
Course
I don't know.
Well, sometimes though you hold your breath.
I do think I hold my breath if I get excited or nervous or if I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So when we feel like we're in threat, which part of this? It seems like that's part of this as well, but we know when our breath either speeds up or slows down and sort of be a nervous system signal to us of what we might need. So.
Yes, and it's important to breathe for orgasm. A lot of times people can't have an orgasm because they're holding their breath.
Yeah. It goes together.
Gotta breathe into that pelvis, you know. It's very tantric. And sometimes it does help to accept bondage, to breathe deep. And when you hold your breath, you get kind of jittery and stiff, you know, and cut yourself off. So we're unraveling here. And so I want to thank my fabulous guests. Of course, Melinda...
Vivian.
But you spell it interestingly. So how do you spell it so people can find you?
Yeah, it's V-Y-V-Y-A-N.
Okay, V-Y-V-I-A-N.
No, there's no I, just all Y.
This is why I pronounced it Vivian.
I know.
Okay, but people can find you on your website, and you are on Instagram, and you got to get a Twitter. It's my advice. And I want to thank Domina Mara, who, of course, is the maven of social media. She's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So
thank you so much for having me.
Oh, this my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
And, of course, Sunshine did a great job being the victim.
Yay.
Yes. We use the word victim humorously, you folks, okay? So... We've had a discussion tonight and a little demonstration about trauma and kink, and I think it was fun. I think it was interesting.
It was
fascinating.
I have like a list of questions though, but the show's over.
Maybe we can talk afterwards. I mean, we will. We'll have a party. Hey, it's an impeachment party, and give me one of my my peaches. I want to end with my peaches. So the cup. I want to eat one. Is anybody hungry? Do you want a peach?
I'll take one now.
Yeah? Okay.
You know what? I'll have a peach, too.
It's an impeachment party. Really, we might as well.
Okay.
Here's a big fork.
Here's one for you. Yum.
Thank you.
Here's one for you, goddess. Okay.
Thank you.
And, yes, we're celebrating the impeachment. We don't know how it's going to go, but it's the right thing to do. Eat a peach. And
for the camera too, right?
Oh yeah, they're really good.
For the viewers, here
reminds
you go,
me
guys,
of my youth when we never ate anything fresh. We'd always eat
here
canned
go,
things.
Viewers,
so,
you
know,
you
eat a peach. And the syrup. Mm. So decadent. Anyway, thank you for having us in your home, your car, or your cardboard box, wherever you are, mansion.
In your bedroom.
A billionaire, maybe one of your 12 houses. Follow the Bonobo way. Give up some of your money. You know, you're suffering from affluenza if you're a billionaire. And let's make things a little more equal, and I'm sure our society will be more bonobo, and maybe we'll even last a few hundred years, which we won't if we keep going at the rate that we're going. So follow the bonobo way. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. And I love peaches. Impeachment.
You need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
With someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk with us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, and fantasize with you. And no fantasy is too taboo. And we help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. If you've never called before, don't be embarrassed. We all need help with sex at one time or another. Even world leaders do. Maybe especially world leaders do. But I'm not going to tell you which ones. So, when you need to ask a question or play out a fantasy or just talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, call us at 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I've just written a new book called The Bonobo Way, inspired by my love for the Make Love, Not War great apes. You know, the ones who have a lot of sex in a bonobo sutra of positions, including face-to-face. But it's not just how bonobos have sex. It's how they use sex to prevent murder and war, really. They're the only great apes that have never been seen killing each other. They practice what I call peace through pleasure. with the females gently dominating the very happy, very sexually satisfied males. Bonobos are special, partly because they just are, and partly because they're very, very close to us, almost 99% genetically similar to us. When it comes to being human, even being humane, bonobos can teach us so much. Which brings me to us, and more specifically to you. Is your inner bonobo longing to swing free? Would you like to tap into the hot, natural sex energy within you? Bet you would. So you can better enjoy the pleasures in life and cope with the pain. You know, the pain. And have more orgasmic, organic, sustainable sex. Who doesn't want that? Greater lust, greater trust, and better anger management. And who couldn't use a little bit of that these days? So get the book, Learn the Bonobo Way. You'll be glad you did. Then you'll want to join Bonoboville, a new global village for bonobo lovers and friends. And one last thing. The real bonobos are highly endangered, so a portion of all book sales go to bonobo conservation groups working to save the wild bonobos from extinction. Read The Bonobo Way and learn why this could be the most important eco-sexual movement of our times. And improve your love life.